have an army. We have a Hulk.
To episode 140 of We Have a Hulk podcast, where we talk all things film and TV. I'm one half of your lovely podcast team, Nicola.
Podcast duo?
Yeah.
I'm going by the Chris, isn't I?
How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm well, thanks, Nicola. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. We are recording on Star Wars Day, so may the 4th be with you all.
May the 4th be with you.
This may not come out today, though. However, maybe tomorrow. But we'll see how editing goes. What are we going to be talking about in this week's episode, then, Chris?
Well, we're going to be doing At Home with the Hulk, so we'll be talking about the things we've been watching, mostly watching, really, since last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also be reviewing Mitchells and the Machines.
Versus the Machines,
Mitchells versus the Machines.
Yes,
yeah.
Which is very good. FYI, spoiler. Oh! Okay, let's kick things off with At Home with the Hulk. So what have you been watching, reading and doing? Reading, not much. Obviously, I'm just trying to power on with
1984.
That's the one. Like, it's really scary. What about Big Brother and stuff? I'm enjoying it.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I think you might like it.
Okay,
yeah. Check it out. Okay, so TV, what have you been watching then?
We literally just watched Star Wars The Bad Batch Episode 1, didn't
we? Yes, it's like 75 minutes, so it's like a double... Maybe even triple bill.
It's animated, looks exactly the same as like
Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yeah.
And what did you think?
I mean, initially, the animation still puts me off a bit.
Gross.
Because, I'm sorry, I know I keep them on like a broken record. But yeah, I think the backgrounds and stuff look good. And then sometimes the characters just look a bit meh. But otherwise, okay. I think it's good. And I really like the story so far. I really enjoyed that first episode. And... I kind of prefer that it's sort of getting into the Empire stuff and everything.
To like the fallout of the Clone Wars, right?
Right, yeah, it feels a bit more in my wheelhouse.
Like, your wheelhouse.
familiar, it feels more familiar to the original trilogy, do you know what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think I might get into this one.
We'll watch episode 2 tonight maybe then.
Yeah, it's good.
But that's all out on episode 1 is out on Disney Plus. I'm not quite sure when episode 2 I think is Friday, but we'll see.
Thank you.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it too. I thought it was fun. I'm watching Rebels at the moment, which is great. And it's interesting to see how it sort of...
When's Rebels set?
I do.
You don't know.
Okay. Can't quite place it with me. Oh no.
Yeah, I just think this is more interesting because it's like after, it's literally at the end of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And it's just, the Empire's just starting, so it's kind of interesting to see.
Yeah,
and I like
true.
Their comments on about the stormtroopers and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, and where they're bad at shooting.
Because I've always wondered about that, yeah. I've always wondered, are they clones or are they not clones?
Yes, like true. So, Wrecker is great as well. I think that's his name. The one who just like smashes everything.
Everyone, yeah. Bling, blong, bling, blong.
Sorry, that is my work thing. I'm on lunch recording. Okay, next. Invincible Season 1 has happened. And we've got Season 2 and 3 coming out as well. They've confirmed that.
Yes.
What did you think about this?
Again, the animation gets me. But we've already talked about that.
But it's like a comic book.
Yeah, it's very much like a comic book. I'm broken record at this point. I feel like it took a long time to get to the bit where it got exciting.
Okay, yes.
I really enjoyed the finale.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed other bits of it. It was good as well. But I just feel like it took a long time to get to that point, and I feel like this now is where the story presumably really starts.
Yes!
So I just feel like this whole season really was a bit of a...
Setting up.
Prologue type thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Whereas
sort of an origins.
Maybe we should have just jumped straight into season one, do you know what I mean?
No, but you need that sort of... Oh, I know what you mean. I mean, when I read the graphic novels, it did take me a while to kind of get into it and find its stride and
stuff. I think that was the problem with me trying to read it as well, was that I didn't feel like it was kicking off. And
yeah.
I wanted to jump into it, you know, so that's why I stopped with the comic book as well.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm excited for season 2 now.
So. Okay. But that finale, that final fight,
It's
so emotional.
It was emotional.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, okay. But they teased some more Vulture Mites, which are going to come into play. And spoilers, Alan the Alien was there, who I love.
Seth Rogen.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, just that bit where he was like, what will you be in 500 years? Who will you have or something? And he's like, I'll have you, Dad. I was like, oh, it's so beautiful. But so sad. Yeah. So Falcon and Winter Soldier has finished.
Yeah.
What did you think of this overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lull in the middle where I was kind of going off it a bit. But I really enjoyed the start. Like, yes. I know a lot of people said they didn't like the first episode, but I really actually quite liked that.
Oh, really?
Okay. Setting up their backgrounds and the bit about, like, I liked seeing some of their background and stuff. Like,
yeah, just like day-to-day sort of life.
I mean, if it's all just fighting, it's kind of like, meh, you know? Mm. So, but then in the middle, they went on this kind of journey, and I wasn't really sure what they were trying to achieve and who the bad guys were, particularly. Like, I understand they were called Flag Smashers and everything, but I didn't really
know what their actual plan.
I think they put enough time into that.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't develop them as much as they should, I don't think, and they weren't like an outright villain,
so as we know. So I wasn't super engaged in that, you know?
Yeah, and the thing that annoyed me was they just wanted there to be no borders. Like, we want Europe back, right? So I didn't really see that. I know, obviously, burning buildings isn't a good thing.
And you're going to achieve anything by going around, like, murdering people and stuff, right? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. Mm. But yeah, anyway, and then the end. I really enjoyed the end. And I like how they kind of, how they handled the whole Captain America thing.
The mantle. And Isaiah Bradley as well. That was great.
Yeah, because, like, if they just jumped straight into the season and Falcon Guy had been Falcon Soldier, I don't know one thing. Falcon America. If they just jumped straight into it and he'd been Captain America, It wouldn't have been like, what's going on, it feels weird, I don't like it. But they had him giving it away and then he had to work to get it back and everything, and you're like, you're hoping now that he gets it, you're rooting for him. So it makes a lot of sense how they did that. Bravo, very good, very clever.
Okay. I kind of felt a bit disappointed in the finale,
really?
If I'm honest.
Yeah, it was just a bit disappointing.
And I think the whole stuff with the other Captain America guy was a bit of a damp, wet fart.
Damp wet fart.
Well, the thing was, like, they set him up to be, obviously after he took the super serum, he went a bit, he already had, like, PTSD or something, and that amplified, and he went a bit bonkers and killed that guy in front of everyone. And then,
Spoilers.
Yeah, I was, I'm hoping everyone's watching that. Sorry. But in the last episode, he just joined them and helped, and everyone liked him again. And I'm like, no.
They did kind of explore some different kind of different mentalities, I suppose. Yeah. They kind of explored the black people living in America and everything. And
yeah, that was interesting. But they didn't really do that enough.
Go deep enough into it.
And that's how I felt with US Agent as well. Like this guy. If you're going to do it, go all out, you know? He wasn't, it was just a bit of a grey sort of
just felt like he's a comment here or a comment there. Yeah. It wasn't really.
It wasn't committed
enough to the thing.
But he's getting his own film as Captain America. So that is something to look forward to.
Yes.
Solar Opposites season 2. Woo! I'm loving this.
I absolutely love this season. I feel like first season they were kind of hamstringed, like they hamstringed themselves maybe. They were trying to be too
Rick and Morty
mainstream. No, I thought they were trying to be more mainstream than Rick and Morty.
Because
the whole family in a house thing, it felt more like Family Guy or Simpsons or something. Whereas this season, I feel like they've just completely decided to do their own thing and it's absolutely off the wall crazy.
Bonkers. I feel like this show would be looking into Chris's brain.
Yeah.
If Chris ever did the show, it would probably be this.
I'm just sitting there laughing to myself, aren't I? I must look like an absolute crazy person to you.
Well, the last one we watched, I think we're an episode behind, was episode 2. And they went to Britain, didn't they?
Yeah. No, that was the first episode.
Oh, was that the first episode? Okay.
That was so funny.
That was great. And they just mocked Britain. And we were just sitting there like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but there's been some developments with the wall, which is exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that may come into it a bit more than it did last season. So I'm very excited.
I think it's really finding its feet now, and I'm very excited. Because I didn't love the first season, but this is great.
Okay.
This is
great. Mm-hmm. Handmaid's Tale season 4. So we've watched the first 8 episodes. I believe the first 2 episodes have aired. How did you find this?
I think this might be the best show of all time. What do you think?
Oh my goodness, mate. mean? That's a bold statement. Wowzer.
I feel like its quality is up there with, like,
Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, that kind of thing. But the story is something that, and maybe this is somewhat personal, but the story is definitely something that I can, that I really get into.
Okay. What, you think it could be than, like, a plausible,
like Breaking Bad, I don't really like kind of gangstery kind of stuff, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Druggy kind of stuff.
So that's the not Sopranos really out thing. The window.
So I love Breaking Bad for its artisticness.
And production values.
The production values and everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But really the story isn't kind of my story. Whereas this... It just makes me so angry, and yet it's so Moorish. I know I use that word a lot for this show, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
The Handmaid's Tale Moorish. It is depressing as fuck. Sorry.
That's yeah, exactly. But it's just the way it kind of pulls you in, and then makes you so angry. But then it gives you a little bit back. Like the whole rebellion thing is something that really kind of
sits with gets me going. Okay.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Okay.
But every time she gets pulled back into
being
a handmaid,
I'm like, for goodness sake, stop it. But you enjoyed it if you can consider enjoying something without
subject matter. It's weird, isn't it? I don't quite get it.
I enjoyed it. However, I did get frustrated a lot.
Yeah.
Which I suppose is fitting. But I feel like it could be a little bit more cheery now. Does that make sense?
I feel like, yeah.
It's on the right path, it's a bit sort of torture porn in a way.
Yeah.
Not torture porn, sadness porn. Is that a phrase? Well, it's fine. We'll call it a phrase.
Getting weird up in here. Yeah, yes.
Okay, and last but not least, Line of Duty Season 6 finale.
You can talk about this after Handmaid's Tale.
I know, I'm sorry. I feel like I just kind of spat at Handmaid's Tale. Chris, watch the finale.
I watched the finale. Everyone. I was crapping it. Is this show any good? Really?
Yes, it's really good.
But the last one.
Really, oh my gosh. It was just boring. Just so underwhelming. Like, the whole season was like, oh, chocolate, twists, and shootouts and stuff.
Really,
yeah. And the whole Mother Mary. I can't even do the line. It was just like the donkey's line. Oh, that killed me. But yeah.
Mother Mary and Joseph and...
The three donkeys.
Yeah. The three kings turned into donkeys.
Oh, yes.
And carried Mary somewhere.
But yeah, I really hope that's not the end, because that's such a sort of... I mean, I did see someone say... Yes, it was a bit boring and a bit underwhelming, but this is real life. Like, obviously, corruption.
It's not real life, though, is it? It's Line of Duty. It's British cop drama.
Yeah, but it might be a metaphor for, like, politicians and how
metaphor,
corruption.
Really? I'm sorry, but I just don't buy it.
Okay. Right, so films.
I'm sorry.
Anyone else, let me know. I mean, there were a lot of comparisons to Game of Thrones.
Feel free to flame me on Twitter. It's fine.
Roast you. You mean a flame.
Flame.
Flame on.
Flame
on. I don't know what's happening now.
Sorry.
Yeah, there were a lot of comparisons to last season of Game of Thrones and how it just kind of went,
woo! Okay, but how could you even compare those?
Come on. Films. Mitchell's versus the Machines. We will be talking about this later. But as I said, spoilers, I loved it. Is that a main review? Yes. Mortal Kombat. Now. Finish him. What did you think of this?
I really loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun. Enjoyed the crap out of it. Lots of gore. Yeah, very good.
Some great signature moves there. Good finishing moves. Someone got a sword in half by a spinning hat. That was possibly the highlight.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Also, Kano. How funny was this guy? Just so character, charismatic. Yeah.
Solid character. Remind me of...
Aussie Man?
Aussie Man Reeves, yep. Or whatever. Yeah. I mean, just because of the accent.
Yeah, I just had a real blast with this film. I think you just got to admit that, obviously, it's not going to win any Oscars. But just enjoy it for what it is. Like Godzilla vs. Kong, right? I mean, if you're looking for... blood and gore and fight scenes and stuff, you'll find it here.
It's fun. Is it dumb fun? Because I'm getting bored with dumb fun at this point. I'm liking things that are fun but also a little bit clever.
Highbrow dumb fun.
No. Like, if something's fun, it doesn't also have to be dumb, does it? Yeah, they're not mutually
exclusive. But the only thing is, if you're looking for a tournament, you will not find it here.
That's true.
This is a prequel of sorts.
Where is the
tournament? It's like the road to the tournament. Like Rocky, and he's preparing for his...
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Do you go back and rewatch the original?
Maybe. I don't think I've watched it, like, for realsies. No. So maybe we should have, like, a film line. Yeah. Without Remorse. So this is Tom Clancy's latest project. So not Jack Ryan this time around. It's John Clark. So I think he's one of the sort of fan favourite characters from the novels.
Okay.
That is part of the Ryan-verse, is what it is called. And this stars Michael B. Jordan. What did you think of this?
I enjoyed this film. I thought it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a little bit kind of predictable, but...
Yes.
They kind of are in this kind of film.
Yeah.
I liked the kind of Navy SEAL aspect of it. That's what it was, right? The water.
Elite sort of. The water.
Water bits where they're popping out of the water and shooting people and stuff. Yeah, the kind of corruption storyline and everything was good.
Was it?
It was okay.
Sorry. What I loved about this film were the action sequences.
Yeah.
And the plot was very predictable and a bit cliche and a bit 90s sort of thriller. I'm thinking like Enemy of the State and Bourne, that kind of thing.
And are there any Americans that are really that kind of... Yeah, do you get these kind of radicalized American people that are like, they'll do whatever, they'll just blow themselves up? That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Mm.
It's kind of interesting.
Mm. Oh, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I think Michael B. Jordan's really good, and the action's great. It's very John Wick. And if you like that kind of thing, you'll like that.
It's basically John Wick.
That's kind of. The
story's kind of John Wick.
Pretty much. There's some great set pieces as well. There's an aeroplane sort of crash, which is fantastic. I mean, I don't know how he holds his breath for that long, but I'm impressed.
Training.
And yeah, but again, the plot is very sort of 90s action thriller. So it's
called everything that happened.
Yeah. Okay.
While we're watching it.
Next, Nomadland on Disney Plus finally in the UK. This is an Oscar winner. So what do you think of this one?
I liked how sort of honest it felt and how this person seemed quite real.
Yes.
And that kind of alternative lifestyle thing is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Hashtag
van life.
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay.
It wasn't an action movie or anything. It wasn't nothing much really happened. It was just sort of...
it was a bit meandering, just sort of
following her life.
Gentle.
The life of this person who's become a nomad living in a van after her town has kind of pretty much disappeared because it no longer...
exists.
Has any kind of use.
Crazy, isn't it? How that
industry.
Can happen.
Even in America, like a town could just disappear.
Just like ghost towns and stuff. Very weird.
Yeah, and then her sort of meeting people.
Sharing that experience.
The life experience.
It was very well shot as well, I think. But obviously it's not going to rock your socks if you're not into...
If you're not into sort of slow meandering films,
yes.
Then you probably won't like this. Yeah,
indeed. And last, I'm not sure we spoke about this last time, but Love and Monsters, we potentially have. But I really enjoyed this. It's on Netflix. If you haven't checked this out yet, and it's like just a really, I think we did talk about this, but it's a nice monster sort of film, isn't it?
Really enjoyed it. Yeah, a lot of fun that one.
Mm-hmm. And just briefly, I know we don't talk about news, but we've got to talk about this Marvel sizzle reel we saw yesterday.
It was exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah, really exciting. It was just like a 3-minute sort of celebration of cinema, and here's what's coming up in Phase 4. But it was just...
The music was really ramping.
Yeah, and you know when they showed the audience, like the opening night for Endgame, when everyone was like clapping and cheering with the Thor... Hammer moments, Captain America. So that was just really nice. And obviously we got a bit more of a look at Black Widow, Shang-Chi. Our first look at Eternals. Jeez, that's taken a long time, hasn't it? What did you think of the Eternals, the brief glimpse we saw?
What happened again? I missed that bit.
So it's like Angelina Jolie with the sword. There's like Richard Madden and a couple of people, Gemma Chan, like just stepping out as the Eternals and...
Yeah, basically what happened was Nicola was watching it on her phone and I was kind of craning over to look. I'm pretty sure I missed that bit, but I will watch it again. Mm-hmm. What did you think of that bit?
I was really excited. I want to see more. Damn it. But obviously it's the director of Nomadland, Chloe, so she's really good. Chloe, like I know her.
First name basis.
So really excited about that. She's so good with the cinematography, so very excited. Also confirmation about Black Panther 2. It's called Wakanda Forever.
That's nice.
Also, Captain Marvel is called the Marvels, which is very exciting. So I have Miss Marvel. Also, we saw our first look at Miss Marvel.
You're excited about this, aren't you?
Yes. Also, obviously, a couple more confirmation on dates for like Spidey 3, Doctor Strange 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Ant-Man 3. So just really exciting. Go and check that out if you haven't. Ow.
Checked out. Checked out.
Ooh, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really good. Pick of the week. What would you pick out of all the TV and films there for your pick? And then I've got my own personal pick. So
top of the list would be Handmaid's Tale, followed by Solar Opposites.
Okay, and you can check those out on Hulu and also Disney Plus. For me, obviously Mitchell's versus the Machines, of course, and also possibly Invisible season 1. I really, really enjoyed that. Okay, so on to our review.
Or is it? Who are these unstoppable warriors?
We're the Mitchells, the only people who can save the world. I'm super sorry, everyone. Let me introduce myself. I'm Katie. I'm sort of a weirdo. My parents haven't figured me out yet. To be fair, it took me a while to figure myself out. My brother, also weird.
Hi, would you like to talk to me about dinosaurs? No. Okay, thank you.
And my mom.
Katie face cupcakes.
All of us, really.
How about we put our phones down and we can make 10 seconds of unobstructed family eye contact. Starting now. See, this is good right here. This is natural.
So The Mitchells versus The Machines landed on Netflix on Friday, 30th of April in the UK and worldwide. And this is another animated thing from Chris Lord and, I've said that the wrong way, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who did Into the Spider-Verse, which is one of my favourite films. So clearly I was going to like this.
Clearly.
So the synopsis is, a quirky, dysfunctional family's road trip is upended when they find themselves in the middle of the robot apocalypse and suddenly become humanity's unlikeliest last hope. So Chris, what were your sort of general thoughts of the film?
My general thoughts, yeah, I think it looked quite nice. It had really nice quality to the light and everything, which was cool. Enjoyed the characters. I felt the story was a little bit...
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare. Like, we've seen it before. It was like a sort of end of the world.
Yeah, I felt the story was quite, I felt a little bit derivative. Not super, you know, high concept or anything.
Okay.
Or original, particularly. I mean, they brought some different aspects together to make it into a new thing. But yeah, it was all right. And yeah, that's kind of my feels. What about you?
I'm so surprised because when we were watching this, we watched it quite a while ago, which may... Yeah. Be detriment to Chris. we were just laughing our heads off. And I remember at the end of it, I was like, I actually really, really enjoyed that film. I just had a great time with it. And I think for me, it's potentially one of the best films I've seen so far this year. I know there haven't been many, obviously, because of, you know, global climate. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed this. I just thought it was really funny. It was really heartfelt. I loved all the sort of film references and things. And Olivia Colman as a villain. Come on.
Yeah.
So story.
Story, yeah. Well, you kind of heard. Like, what do you want to talk about?
Okay.
What do you want to say?
So yeah, it was very similar to like The Incredibles in a way, wasn't it? So it was all about family taking their sort of last road trip together as a family, if that makes sense, before
they
she goes off to... Yeah, they do. True.
Yeah.
But they are possibly the worst hope for humanity because they are not...
just your average everyday kind of.
Yeah, people who are obsessed with their phones. And yes, there's lots of genres in there as well. So you've got road trip, you've got coming of age, tech uprising, and like apocalyptic elements with the hilarious robots. I think they're great. The script is really great as well because it's really witty. It's very self-aware as well. It references so many of the films like Dawn of the Dead and all this kind of thing. And I just thought it was laugh out loud funny. You got a lot of like visual gags like Monty the Pug with the sheep pig dog. Fred.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That was really good.
See, I've completely forgotten that. This is good.
No.
We've waited too long to do
this. There were loads of meme references as well, and then you had the amazing Furby sequence, which I'm not going to talk too much about because it might be a little spoiler, but that for me, as a 90s kid, I was like, okay, I get this. There was also kind of a nice sort of social commentary in there about, obviously, family struggle to connect in a world of modern technology.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just your all-out sort of phones are bad sort of thing. It was a bit more than that. It was a bit more depth to it, I thought.
Yeah.
Indeed. But there was a nice sort of reference there to, I think it was like Facebook or somewhere. They like completely said, oh, they don't have our best interests at heart.
I thought that was great.
Exactly. And I just really liked the message that it was a dysfunctional family and their weirdness that saved the day. I just thought it was really nice. A great family thing. But the best thing about it were the really well-rounded characters.
Yeah, the characters was the best thing about it, which is just what you just said, essentially, is what I just repeated.
Okay. So. Katie was great. I loved how she loved films and did all the films with the pug dog and stuff. Yeah. It was just so creative. And there were like little flourishes. We'll talk about it later, but little flourishes that seemed like sort of she directed the film in a way. Because they were called like Katie-isms or something, like little hand-drawn bits with the animation, which was really nice. I loved her relationship with the brother who loved dinosaurs, which felt very real. And the fact they went to this gas station and the dinosaurs weren't right. He had a bit of a fit. I need to talk to the manager. It's great. And then the dad, Rick, I feel like they should have had Nick Offerman to do this role, right? I think he would have been perfect because obviously he liked the outdoors. He was into like crafting things. Yeah. He made the house and stuff. But Maya Rudolph as the mum in the final act, she steals the show. Absolutely. Just so funny. Like proper mama bed, isn't she?
Probably like switches into, I'm going to protect these guys.
Protect
family mode. That's brilliant.
And it just felt very relatable, like all the relationships and things, and very well developed. And it's very quite moving, as they say. So, visuals. So, for me, it felt very sort of Scott Pilgrim and very Spider-Man in the visuals and the sort of melding of the 2D and 3D animation.
Yeah, Spider-Verse, I would say. Yeah, yes. Similar kind of thing going on. A bit more 3D than... I didn't feel like they had as many of the painted...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, they were called, they were called Katie Vision. So, like, the doodles added, like, a nice creative touch to it. Lots of pop culture references throughout. Obviously, Tron was a big one. PAL being a homage to Space Odyssey. Mm. That was another huge one. iRobot as well. And then a lot of sort of action.
That's what I meant by it being sort of, you know, felt like there was a lot of homage.
Homage. I see what you mean.
Yeah,
there were lots of nods, wasn't there? And Easter eggs and stuff. But yeah, it's the soundtrack was interesting as well. It did feel very sort of Daft Punk Tron Legacy, didn't it?
I can't remember the soundtrack. Chris, I need to watch it again.
Like this.
Yeah, I probably did.
You probably did at the time.
It's probably been 2 months.
Oh dear. Okay, so let's round this off, shall we? Did you have any favourite moments that you would like to that you can remember?
The Furby was pretty great. Yes. The mum going pretty like ninja psycho was brilliant.
Yes.
There was a lot of great moments. It was very funny.
Okay.
And just the character moments were what made it.
Yeah.
Really.
Okay, so how would you rate this film then, Chris?
I'll give one thumbs up, okay?
One!
I think that mostly because I think the story was a little bit derivative, could have been better. Okay. But it was very funny. Mm-hmm. The characters were great. So definitely worth a watch, I would say, if you're into this kind of thing. Good family movie to watch with the family. Probably.
Probably.
Because that's what you do with family movies.
Okay. I would give it 2 big thumbs up. Absolutely love this. This was my jam. I love animation. Obviously, I love Into the Spider-Verse. And I feel like that was just a great sort of continuation from the Sony sort of animation. Hugely creative, loved the characters, just a blast. The Furby was just, honestly, I don't think I'll see anything funnier this year.
Okay,
potentially bold statement. Two huge thumbs up from me. Potentially my favourite film of the year, but we shall see. Obviously, it's only May.
It's only May, so.
We'll, yeah.
Rein it in a bit, love.
Sorry. Thank you so much for listening. Really hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us to let us know what your pick of the week is and what you thought of Line of Duty Season 6, because that's obviously the most important thing at the moment. How do you go about doing that then, Chris?
You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, / We Have a Hulk on Twitter, and We Have a Hulk Pod on the others. Yes. And we're also on YouTube, but don't want to forget that, because we haven't done anything there for quite a while. What else? Oh, we got your review site.
Which has just been rebranded.
Rebranded. What? It's beautiful.
Fresh.
It's exciting.
Fresh as the summer breeze. Yes, Chris has spent a long time rebranding our logo and also our website, and it looks all shiny. So now I'm going to have to keep up with writing every day.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But yeah, go check that out. That's wehaveahook.co.uk. And let us know what you think.
Yeah, and if you want to write for us, please get in touch, because, you know, get some extra content on there would be nice.
And
you can get a byline.
Yes, that's true. And we get lots of screeners, so just let us know.
So you can watch something in advance.
Exactly. And please help.
Please help us.
Okay, so this month, cinemas finally reopen on May the 17th, and I'm so excited. So there's a couple of... potentially, okay. Yes. So there's going to be lots of things to see. I've had an email from Showcase to say what's sort of coming out soon and what you can book. They're going to be replaying like Godzilla versus Kong, Raya and the Last Dragons. So I'm really excited. I might watch some stuff again, if that makes sense, like on the big screen. But new films out this month. So you've got Wrath of Man, which is the Jason Statham one, which could be quite interesting.
Jason Statham.
Cool. Yeah. Spiral, so this is the Saw spin-off, which I believe Chris will not be watching.
Never!
Woman in the Window from Netflix. We've got Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway. I still need to watch the first one.
Didn't that look awful?
Yeah, it was James Corden. Army of the Dead on Netflix. We've got Cruella on Disney Plus. And also A Quiet Place Part 2, which I'm actually really excited for. Yeah, that was one of the ones we had an invite to, and then they cancelled it. It was like a day before lockdown.
Oh,
no. And I was like, I waited so long for this film. So I hope it's worth it.
I'm sure it will be.
In the next episode, I'm sure we'll probably be looking at...
One or two of those.
Let's shake it up. I don't know.
What's Army of the Dead? I saw an image.
Yes, Zack Snyder. It's the heist/zombie.
It's very colourful.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
So that might be a good one. Mm. Mm. Okay, so once again, thank you so much for listening, and hope to see you next time.
Bye. Bye.